Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is VSiN's Long Shots, the world's number one golf betting show, with Wes Reynolds and sometimes Matt Eumanns. Here is Brady Cannon.
Welcome into Short Shots, our off-season version of Long Shots, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. More golf talk here for you this week on the PGA Tour. I'm Brady Cannon, along with Wes Reynolds. And after playing the Zozo Championship last week in Japan, the tour is back stateside this week in South Carolina, a visit to the Lowcountry, Congaree Golf Club in Gillisonville. And Wes, this is a stacked field. This ought to be fun to watch. The best one we've seen so far, certainly in this fall season. And like last week, it's another limited field event with no cut. This golf course, I really enjoyed it the last time we saw it. We only have seen it on tour for the Palmetto Championship that was last June in 2021. South African and UNLV Rebel Garrick Higo made that his first PGA Tour victory. Now, that was against a relatively tame field, nothing like we have here this week for the CJ Cup. The CJ Cup, of course, the last couple of years has been held right here in Las Vegas, just the fourth year in existence for the CJ Cup. The first year was held at Nine Bridges in South Korea. But a tougher handicap for sure, Wes, when we don't have as much course history. Just the one event I mentioned, the Palmetto Championship at Congaree. It is a Tom Fazio designed and all kinds of sand, of course, that is prominent in this area of the state. And much like we saw for the PGA Championship at Kiawah Island, it really looks like they just dropped a golf course down on top of a beach here. I thought the course was beautiful to look at and watch on TV. Really interesting, the Palmetto Championship last year. How did you handicap this tournament without so much course history to go off of?
Yeah, Brady, another short field like we had last week at the Zozo. Congratulations to Keegan Bradley, a winner for the first time in 4 years at 33-1. Held off Ricky Fowler and Andrew Putnam. Good to see Ricky Fowler play well again. But kind of to what you were talking about here in the Open, this is a more stacked field. This is probably the best field that we are going to get in golf for the rest of 2022. You have six of the top 10 in the OWGR, 15 of the top 20 teeing it up this week. And Rory McIlroy heads the betting. He's the defending champion of the CJ Cup, won it out here in Las Vegas, actually last year at the Summit Club. John Rahm's here, Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas, Matt Fitzpatrick, Matsuyama, Morikawa, Hovland, Tom Kim, Sung Jae Im, lot of big names in this field, even ones that we didn't mention there at the Open. But if you look at this course, Congaree Golf Club, we do only have the 1 year of history at the Palmetto Championship, a much better field, by the way, than that one time Palmetto Championship was. But if you look at it, relatively new course. It is in the low country of South Carolina. This town of Gillisonville, unincorporated town, is about 30 miles north of Savannah, Georgia, to give you more of an idea of where this is. And, you know, 3,200 acres of undeveloped forest and lakes. This was once a rice plantation. If you look at kind of the architecture, it does resemble, I guess, a little bit of Australian sandbelt courses. There's a ton of sand here, by the way, on this course, and that's going to be a recurring theme. I think there's about 130 acres of sand on this layout. It's a par 71, 7655, the longest ever par 71 on the PGA Tour. But if you kind of look at that Palmetto Championship that we talked about in June of 2021, it wasn't necessarily just bombers up there. You had some shorter hitters on the mix, or in the mix, on the first page of the leaderboard. You have wide fairways. They're Bermuda fairways, about 50 yards on average, largest on the PGA Tour. But you do get some sharp edges on these fairway, like you'll see in Australia. Balls can plunge into various hazards. All the sand are deemed natural areas, so players are permitted to ground their club on address at any point. You really don't have any rough here. It's a fairly flat course. 10 water danger holes on this course. Champion Bermuda greens, about 6,100 square feet on average. And they're going to roll a little faster, about 12.5 on the stimp. So, you know, a relatively long course, but it doesn't necessarily take shorter hitters. It's gotten rave reviews and Golf Digest and various other publications. But when I looked at some correlated courses, Brady, I look and listen to Tom Fazio, the designer of this course, who once called Congaree, quote, a low country Shadow Creek. So This is a little bit reminiscent, I think, of Shadow, of more sand. But you talked about how this is like, you know, a bunch of sand and you got a golf course plunked into it, like on a beach. That's kind of like what Shadow Creek is out here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's a good point you make, Wes. You're right. I mean, that's a golf course plopped in the middle of nowhere in the desert, right?
Yeah, you take a piece of North Carolina or South Carolina and just plunk it right in the desert. So I thought that had correlation. Quail Hollow is another Fazio design, of course, where they just played the President's Cup a few weeks ago. And then some of the non-Fazio designs, Kiwa Island, you mentioned in the Open there, Little Kapalua, maybe some PGA National, also Memorial Park down in Houston. So, you know, I was looking at that in terms of course correlations. In terms of stats, not a lot to go on here. You can kind of combine off the tee and approach if you go strokes gained, ball striking, proximity gain 200 plus yards, because when you're about 7,700 yards, you're going to have plenty of long irons into these greens, even if you're in these wide fairways. So I use that, but I used a lot more in terms of like the short game this week than I would for ball striking. I think you obviously have to use a little sand saves because you're probably going to have to get up and down out of the bunker at some point when you got 130 acres of sand here. Three putt avoidance I thought was key. And then I also looked at strokes gained putting on fast Bermuda greens, 12.5 on the stimp. And then strokes gained around the green. I think this was the eighth most difficult course in 2021 to gain strokes around the green. And when you don't have any rough, you're going to have chips on short grass with real tight lies. You have runoff areas surrounding the green. So you can get the ball roll 40 or 50 yards away from the green complexes. The slopes lead to the waste areas or some of the water hazards. So strokes gained around the green, I think, is going to be extra important this week.
Yeah, I think you make a good case for it. I did not put it into my model. I did use ball striking and approach. I used driving distance. You know, you talked about how long this golf course is. And you're right. We did certainly see some shorter hitters atop that leaderboard at the Palmetto Championship. But with this type of field, you know, you've got a lot of guys that can really drive the golf ball at the top of the class of this field. So I think distance is going to trump accuracy this week. I did look at putting. You talk about the short game. I did not look at strokes around the green, but I did look at putting on Bermuda and sand saves for sure. You're right. You're definitely going to have, I don't think anybody's going to be able to completely avoid the sand this week. And then I'm with you on the proximity from 200 plus as well. You're certainly going to face a lot of shots at that distance. I like the fact that we've got a couple of drivable, maybe not necessarily drivable, but possibly drivable par fours in the neighborhood of 360 yards as well. Those are always fun to watch. As far as the correlated courses, I'm with you on Quail Hollow. I think that makes a lot of sense. But I also went to Trinity Forest, where they played the Byron Nelson in 2018 and 2019. You know how that layout is very flat and kind of a Lynx-ish style design. I think that's what we have here. It's kind of a combination of what, like what you talk about down in Australia, the sand, you know, the sand golf courses there, and also that Lynx design like we kind of see at Trinity Forest. So I use that one. And then Chapultepec in Mexico, and then another Fazio design, Caves Valley, where we saw Patrick Cantlay win the BMW Championship in 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Trinity Forest, if you remember that course in Dallas, it's like there's a bunch of water because they tried to put like a Lynx course there in the Metroplex in Dallas-Fort Worth. Kind of the similar thing here where you've got a ton of sand all over this course. I'm going to be interested to see how it plays. 11 under, I believe, was the winning score for Garrick Higo here in 2021. There was a multitude of guys tied for second, but I anticipate the winning score with the better field and guys in more form, having seen this course. I would expect, you know, mid-teens probably going to win. I don't know if it's going to get into the 20 range, but probably, you know, 15 under, 16 under, and just the depth of the field. I mean, there were even names we didn't mention at the top. Sam Burns, Max Homa, Jordan Spieth, Cameron Young, Billy Horschel. This is an absolutely stacked field here at Congaree down in South Carolina. So, you know, you mentioned this started in South Korea at the Nine Bridges, then it went to Shadow, then it went to Summit, so not able to have it in South Korea yet again. The COVID-19 basically kind of changed the whole schedule here, but I think we're in for a really good event this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing this golf course again and seeing a really star-studded field attack it. Before we get to our plays for the CJ Cup, Wes, let's go back across the pond. The DP World Tour, they will stay in Spain this week for the Mallorca Golf Open. And congratulations are in order. Hopefully the listeners tailed you last week, Wes, as you got home with another winner at the Andalusia Masters.
Yeah, Adrian Otegi by six strokes, by the way, 19 under par, all-time record at Valderrama. That's his fourth DP World Tour title. We got him there at 55-1. He is cut very big this week, though. He is 18-1. This field, not as strong. You did have at least a little bit of top class in that field last week. So looking at the favorites, Otegi, of course, 18-1. Rasmus Højgaard was fifth last week at Valderrama, 12-1. Ryan Fox, 16-1. Two victories this year on the DP World Tour and a runner-up. He is third in the Race to Dubai standings on the DP World Tour behind Rory McIlroy and Matt Fitzpatrick. So those are the top guys in this field. It was nice to have kind of a runaway because Otegi led by six after Saturday's third round and then never was really challenged and goes ahead and gets to a 19 under. You recall he actually was on the original Live events earlier this year. I don't know if he's not going to go back to that tour. He doesn't really need to if he's got his DP World Tour membership extended by about 2 years. So he is in the field this week. So this is the second year they had this event because it was supposed to be a one-off event last year. The Trophée Hassan event that's usually played in Morocco was canceled due to COVID-19. Also wasn't on the schedule for this season. So new course, Golf Santa Ponsa, a little bit more toward the eastern part of the Mediterranean. That was the course last year. The course this year is called Sun Montaner, and it's about par 71, 69, 52. Kurt Rosneck is the designer of this course. And if you've heard that design or read my write-ups and Point Spread Weekly, the BMW International Open in Germany at München Eichenride is one of his designs. The Porsche European Open at Bad Griesbach, also in Germany. The Italian Open in 2020 was played in Cervo Golf Club. So maybe that could give you some hints here to who could play well. Creeping bent grass, a little bit faster greens here. course is relatively short. You also have five par fours of 400 yards or less that have birdie opportunities. So I'll run through these real quick. Andy Sullivan, 30-1. He was 11th last week at the Andalusian Masters. Top five in both approach and strokes gained tee to green over the course of 4 days. And I'm not going with the top, the Højgaard, I guess, at the top of the market. I'm going with the twin brother, Nikolaj Højgaard, at 35-1. Rasmus was top five last week at Valderrama. But I think maybe what's going to be a lower scoring track like this is going to suit Nikolaj a little bit better. Rasmus a little bit more measured, you know, maybe not as long off the tee, whereas Nikolaj can absolutely bomb it. He led the field for strokes gained off the tee last week. Connor Syme, 50-1, not too far removed from his midsummer form where he had back-to-back runners-up in Wales and Northern Ireland. Sebastian Garcia Rodriguez, who is a Spaniard, 70-1. He was T5 last year in this event, albeit at a different course, was also T8 in Tenerife last year, runner-up in Cadiz back in 2019 on the Challenge Tour. So the Spaniard, you know, kind of seems to get up for home games. Some of these guys, when they have events in their home nation, sometimes the pressure gets to them, but hasn't really done so for Garcia Rodriguez. He's had a couple looks over the last couple years. Sebastian Soderberg, 100-1, missed six of his last eight cuts, but he was T2 in this event last year. And then another guy played well here last year in this event, Nicklas Lemke, 130-1, T7 last year. So I kind of went on a little bit more hunches this week, Brady, with a little bit of a weaker field. So this is a little bit more of a dart throw in Mallorca than it was at Valderrama last week.
Well, you know, a hunch is not too bad when you're running hot. So maybe it'll work for a second week in a row. Let me give you the plays that I put together for the CJ Cup, and then we'll get to yours. Just four outrights once again this week. And again, a note to our listeners, you know, this is the time of year when for both Wes and myself, it's football season, it's hockey season, the NBA, of course, tipping off. And I dumbed down a little bit on my golf bets and don't get as serious with it as I do in January through the main portion of the season. So anyway, take that with a grain of salt before you, you know, dive in deep on these plays. But I think I've got four plays that I like this week, and you know, maybe we can hit one of them. Justin Thomas at 18-1 is my shortest shot. He's a past CJ Cup winner. Of course, he won in the inaugural event in South Korea. Congaree, obviously a different property, but as we have talked about, a big, long golf course with the widest fairways these players are probably going to see all year. And, you know, Justin Thomas certainly doesn't have a problem with length, but sometimes he does with accuracy. And as I mentioned in the course breakdown, I don't think accuracy is going to be a problem here. No rough, you talked about, Wes. Thomas has a tremendous touch around the greens with the short game and whatnot. His iron game is arguably the best in the field, and he putts really well on speedy, firm Bermuda as well. You talked about PGA National, and we've seen Justin Thomas have success on those greens there in Florida. Also, if you look at how he's done on some of the correlated courses, Chapultepec in Mexico, that's the site of the WGC Mexico where it was held from 2017 to through 2020. He's finished fifth, second, ninth, and sixth there in four trips to Mexico. Also has a great record at Quail Hollow. He's finished seventh, 21st, and 26th. And of course, won the PGA Championship there at 2017. So I think Thomas makes a lot of sense here, and we'll see if he can contend once again. The next play on the board at 31-1, I took his buddy Jordan Spieth, and I mentioned Trinity Forest having similarities to Congaree. Well, Jordan Spieth, of course, the Texas native, has a lot of experience at Trinity Forest. He's finished 21st and 29th when the Byron Nelson was there. He's also finished 12th and 14th at Chapultepec in Mexico. And he was 28th at Quail Hollow for the PGA Championship. He's fourth in the field over the last 24 rounds in proximity to the hole from that 200 yards or greater that we were talking about. This guy is also one of the best in the field from the sand. So I thought Jordan Spieth was worth a shot at a pretty good price. We typically don't see Spieth past 30-1. And then, you know, the Australian. We talked about how this course has some similarities to what you might see in Australia. So I took a shot with Jason Day at 70-1. It's been really a while since we've seen him contend, but I think he's got a shot. He played well a couple of weeks ago in Las Vegas at the Shriners, where he finished eighth. His approach play and his ball striking has been very good. We know about his touch on and around the greens as a putter and a chipper. And, you know, like Justin Thomas, he's a guy that still has plenty of length, but sometimes we see him struggle with the accuracy. And again, I don't think accuracy is going to be an issue with these wide fairways. Jason Day, he never made the trip to the WGC Mexico, but he's really killed it at Quail Hollow with a win, a ninth, and two top 25 finishes. Also finished ninth at the 2017 PGA Championship. And then finally, a long bomb with another long bomber of the golf ball, and that's Gary Woodland at 150-1. Woodland was 10th in the field this week in the last 24 rounds for driving distance, 14th in sand saves, and 18th in proximity to the hole from 200 yards or better. He's got two top five finishes at Quail Hollow. He was 22nd at the PGA Championship. He's taken 12th and 17th in Mexico. And this is another guy we've seen flourish on Bermuda grass greens in the past at the Honda Classic and also in Phoenix.
Yeah, Woodland actually almost made my card this week. I went with six and, you know, kind of a three guys toward the shorter end of the board and then three in the middle. And I started with Sungjae Im at 22-1, obviously finished off the season in really good form, three runner-ups, his final five starts, including at the Tour Championship. Had a pretty successful President's Cup, despite the fact that the Internationals team did lose to the U.S. team. 2.5 points, he was the joint top scorer, made his first start at the Shriners Open a couple weeks ago, finished seventh, had a slow start at the Zozo last week, but then, you know, finished at least a solid 29th. Best round of the week was on Sunday, a 66. Bermuda, historically his best putting surface. And, you know, wouldn't it be kind of appropriate, this is originally a South Korean tournament, to see a South Korean win it, and Sungjae Im certainly fits that bill. And then two guys at 31-1, Sam Burns, who was actually very disappointing at the President's Cup 4 weeks ago, 0-3-2, so didn't win a match outright, and then he was only T30 at the Sanderson Farms where he was defending his title, but he was number one for strokes gained off the tee in that field. You know, man from Louisiana, he's won four times in the last year and a half. All four of his wins were in the South, three of the four being on Bermuda greens. And when I did that little category in my model this week, Brady, strokes gained putting on fast Bermuda greens over the last 36 rounds, number one in that modeled category was Sam Burns. So I think he could go well here, as I do Cameron Young, who is also 31-1. Did everything on his rookie season for the PGA Tour except win. You know, six top threes, four runners up, second at the Open, third at the PGA Championship. One of the bigger hitters off the tee, really, in the golf world. And he was second on tour last year for SG off the tee, third for driving distance. But it's a short game that I think he might be able to flourish here. He's fourth in the field, actually, over the last 36 rounds for strokes gained around the green. So Cameron Young is a guy that I think, you know, can put it together here at Congaree. And a guy that did almost put it together and win at Congaree last year was Tyrrell Hatton, who finished T2. Disappointing last week was T45 at the Zozo in Japan, but coming in did have those back-to-back top 10 finishes on the DP World Tour. And this is a guy that I kind of feel fits that Congaree Shadow Creek correlation, if you will. If you remember the 2020 CJ Cup, which was won by Jason Kokrak, Tyrrell Hatton was T3 in that field. So I could see some potential correlation here between those two. And that leads me to the next player, of course, and that being Taylor Montgomery at 60-1.
There you go. I think he's probably played shadow a few times.
Yeah, he has. Absolutely. And you lead me into that, Brady. Step up in class for the field, clearly, for Taylor Montgomery. But I think he fits the profile if that Congaree Shadow Creek correlation is going to bear fruit like I think it's going to be. That's his home course, of course, his father, Monty, the general manager of that exclusive Las Vegas golf course in the north part of Las Vegas at Shadow Creek. He was T15 at the Shriners 2 weeks ago, and that actually broke a streak of six straight top 10 finishes, and that goes back to the final events he played on the Korn Ferry Tour when he got his PGA Tour card, and then his first two starts this fall as a full-fledged PGA Tour member was right there at the Fortinet Championship, was also right in the mix at the Sanderson Farm, so I think he could go well here, even though that this is a higher class field than he has played in of late. And then I'm going to go back to a guy I did use last week who, man, I thought he was going to be right there for the weekend, and that's Mito Pereira at 80-1. He was T4 at the Shriners right out here in Las Vegas, then shot 67. I think he was like third or fourth after the first round at the Zozo last week in Japan. So it's like, okay, Mito's back. And then what does he do? He shoots 7 over 77 on Friday, took himself out of contention, but he did rebound, shot 6 under on the weekend. So that one disastrous round really took him out of the mix, because if he just shoots like level par, he's going to be right in there, you know, to be in the hunt with Bradley and Putnam and Fowler. Victor Hovland was my nearest guy, by the way. He ends up T5, just never made a move on Sunday. But this is a better field this week, as we were talking about with Montgomery. But Mito Pereira, it was in like the low to mid 30s last week, and now he's 80-1 in a short field with 78 players. So I think that he can absolutely go well this week.
Yeah, very good. Well, Cameron Young ought to get it done for you, because, of course, I was on him last week.
You know, that's what we're talking about, Brady. It's that premature tipulation, if you will, where it's like we feel like we're a week early on guys, you know. And, you know, sometimes I fall into that too, where it's like, okay, do I want to stick with this guy or do I want to go somewhere else? You know, I was feeling that with Ricky Fowler. I know you were on Bradley of like a week or two before he gets it done. I used Fowler at Las Vegas at the Shriners. Doesn't do anything, misses the cut. And then he's right there in the mix to win in Japan for the first time in a few years. So, you know, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to stick with these guys, even if they don't get there for me 1 week.
Yep, very good. I was considering Ricky last week, and of course I didn't land on him, but saw him there in the lead heading into the final round, and I was rooting for him. Eventually, Keegan Bradley gets it done. That is going to do it for this week's edition of Short Shots. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back next week to preview the Bermuda Championship at Port Royal Golf Club in Bermuda. Enjoy the CJ Cup, everybody. Let's see if we can get another winner home this week on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.